In our series of Saved to Serve, I have entitled today's message, Created for God Works. Now, that's not a typo. We are created for good works, but they are truly God works in us. So I want to encourage you in that we are saved to serve, and we are created for a purpose by God, and He's doing His work in us. And we'll see that beginning in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10. And I would like to share with you what I've, this part of the message that I've called God's masterpiece. And you'll see why I have titled it that way. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10 says this. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. This starts out by saying we are saved by grace through faith, and it is a gift of God. And it says that we are God's masterpiece. Now, I'm going to focus in on that word just a little bit more after a bit here, talking about a masterpiece or God's workmanship, another translation says. But it says we were created anew so we can do the things that were planned for us long ago. So even in this short passage of Scripture, you can see that we are saved to serve, or created anew so that we can do. God has some things intended for us as His workmanship or as His masterpiece. And it's things that were planned a long time ago before any of us lived one of our days. God already had a design and a plan for you. And we'll see that more in just a bit here. And then it says that we should be walking in them. The New American Translation, New American Standard Bible says that we would walk in them. We'll see in the translation I'm going to share, the Amplified here in just a little bit, it says that we should walk in them. And in the Message paraphrase, it says work that we'd better be doing. If there are things that God has designed for us and planned for us long ago, then why would we consider doing anything different? Things that we would be, should be doing, things that we better be doing. Well, let's look at the word masterpiece there just a little bit and give it some definition. Another, again, a translation is workmanship. We are designed by God, created by God, and it calls us His masterpiece. When you think about a masterpiece, it's really defined as a person's greatest piece of work, as in art, or anything done with masterly skill is considered to be a masterpiece. Now, again, obviously we think about artists and their masterpieces, and you can look here on the screen and see some of the visual art masterpieces that were created by various artists throughout history, and they would be considered to be masterpieces that they created, very famous for their masterpiece. And either in painting or in sculpture, we know that there are masterpieces, divine or masterly skills used to create these things. And so what it's talking about here, when it uses that word masterpiece, it talks about that we are individually one of God's greatest works. We are individually His masterly skill, the result of His masterly skill. Now, I want you to see this same passage, Ephesians 2, verse 10, from the Amplified Translation. I love how it says it here. Follow along with me on the screen. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Isn't that awesome? Living the good life that God designed and created and said, here's all that you need for life and godliness. Here's all that you need for the good life to live out what I have designed and planned ahead of you. Now, can you imagine anyone saying, no thanks, I think what I'm doing is okay. I think my choice is a better choice. But how many times are we maybe doing that without giving it much thought? We just, instead of saying, God, what is it that you have designed for me to do? Or how is it that you have designed me to do these things you have planned for me? How is it that I am your masterpiece? How is it that I am your workmanship, created in a unique way with your masterly skills to do the things that you have arranged for me ahead of time? Instead of actually pursuing after that, we just kind of go with the flow or go with what society says. You know, this would be you'd be an important person if you did this kind of thing. And sometimes we're pursuing after the things we're not even created for, not even skilled with, just because someone else says it's an important thing to do. Or you can have notoriety, or you can have position, you can have prestige if you become a whatever, whatever, instead of just doing what God has designed us to do and walking in the steps that He has ordered for us. So again, I love that phrase, that last part of that, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now we see in Scripture that we are designed by God for purpose. And I want you to turn with me to Psalms 139. I had the opportunity to go through Melanie's message when I was absent here a couple of weeks ago. And I took note that she had taken you to this passage of Scripture as well. Mostly not the same one. She started earlier in that chapter, but it's interesting how I believe that the Lord is speaking through multiple voices, kind of the same thing here about His plan and His purpose for you, and we definitely see this in this passage of Scripture. One of my favorites here is Psalm 139 that speaks about how we are creatively designed and made by God with a specific purpose. We'll see that. Your notes say, starting with verse 14, but I actually want to start with verse 13. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." Now, before we go on, I want to just share with you the notes from these passages so far. First of all, it speaks of being made wonderfully complex. And there again is the handiwork of God, the skillful work of God, and how, you know, we are fashioned, we are knit together, as it says there, with His skill and in such a complex way. When you think about not just the design of the body and the DNA and everything, all of the functions, the endocrine, how do you say that, honey? The endocrinology, the way our bodies, the electrical impulses that happen, how the muscles respond, how the thought process works, how our physical body, we are so complex in our makeup. And, you know, to realize that obviously it was by design. There was intelligent design involved in each one of us being designed that way. But not only that, when we consider the emotional part of our humanity, the emotional part of our being, how complex that all is. And I realize that some of us are more emotionally complex than others, if you know what I mean. But the reality is that all of us really have been given these things by God that makes us wonderfully complex, wonderfully unique, and created and designed by God. It says, wonderfully complex, marvelous workmanship, and that there again goes back to that word, the masterpiece of God, His marvelous workmanship. And this all started in the womb, formed in the womb. Now, this does not talk about in what way one was conceived, whether God had a part in that or not. It has nothing to do with whether it was within or outside the commitment of marriage, whether it was planned or unplanned pregnancy, has nothing to do with that. What it says is that one that was formed in the womb was, there was a design, the handiwork of God involved in that. So none of us are exempt from that, no matter in what form the conception took place. But formed in the womb. And then going on with verse 16, it says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And there again, I see in that the purpose of God, God's purpose for each one of us. Where before we lived a single day, it says every day of my life was recorded. And again, it was before a single day had passed. So what I see, and I've shared it this way before, it's like God in heaven has a journal of your life. Now, many people journal their activities. You know, this is what I did today, or this is what the Lord is speaking to me. You know, the Lord is leading me in this direction. We journal those things. And it's a frequent prayer of mine, Lord, let my journal look like the one you have already written about me each day of my life. Because he has recorded. And I think it's something that we ought to pursue after. It's like, Lord, what would you have for me to do today? What did you inscribe in your book in heaven before I was even born, before I lived out one of those days? How did you describe this day in your book for me? And then purpose to live after that, just being sensitive to the leading of the Lord, being sensitive to who am I supposed to speak to and what am I supposed to say to them? Because God has a purpose for you. Now, it used to be an evangelistic tool to say God loves you and he has a plan for your life. But that's absolutely true, and we see it scripturally. God loves you and he actually designed and created you before you were born. He even recorded your days. And so how awesome is that to know that God has that purpose established for you in your life. Again, I'm going to go to the Amplified Translation here for verse 15 where it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors. In the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. I just wanted to focus on that, the variety. You know, each one of us is so unique. And when we see this, it's talking about as if embroidered with various colors. What I see is like a tapestry. And the various colors that are used in a tapestry to make out the design of a picture. And I remember Melanie having a specific word spoken over her. This is when we were back and we were farming. We were preparing for ministry and we were attending some special meetings. And when we were farming, we had a lot of challenges, some real circumstantial challenges that we had to face and deal with. And it was hard. Many times it was very, very difficult. And there was one particular time where Melanie was especially just struggling through some of the circumstances that we were dealing with. And the person who was ministering just kind of called her out of the crowd and said, you are perceiving your life, but you are looking at it like the backside of a tapestry. And you are wondering, what is the purpose of that black thread that's there? You cannot see any purpose for that black thread. Or speaking of the challenges, the struggles, the difficulties you're going through. But this minister said, if you turn the tapestry over and look at the front of it, you'll see how that black thread defines what's on the front of that tapestry, gives it definition. And so there was, you know, like a word of the Lord to not only to her, but to us, that there are things that are going on in our life that we struggle with, and we say, what's the purpose of this? But to realize that God, in his weaving, in his knitting together, he is like a person doing a tapestry, but knows the end while he's doing it, and knows how this can be used. You know, a perfect biblical example would be to go back to the life of Joseph and how he was rejected by his brothers, how he was sold into slavery, how he was falsely accused by his master's wife, how he was falsely imprisoned, and you know, but all of those steps were part of the process for God to prepare him to be prime minister of Egypt, and then to eventually the fulfilling of the vision that he had given of his brothers coming and bowing to him. And he said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, in other words, that dark thread through this part of my tapestry, God intended it for good. So even when we're going through the struggles, we need to see, okay, God is knitting something together. And don't just discard it and don't always rebuke the devil just because you have something that's negative going on in your life. And even if it is the devil that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, which he does, the scripture says, Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. We know that God loves us. We love him back. We know that we are called according to his purpose. He has purpose for us. We see that in Psalm 139 and the days that he has recorded for each one of us. And in that, even if the devil's trying to mess things up and destroy your life or destroy your relationships, whatever, that God will turn it around and make it for good. And that dark thread through there will very likely give definition to a part of your life in which you will be prepared and equipped for the things that God has for you to do. So don't just discard that, well, this is good and so it's God. This is bad, so it's of the devil. You know, it's like there is more involved in there, and we just need to trust the Lord no matter what is going on in our lives and put our faith in him and be at peace with his work in our lives. So again, wonderfully complex, marvelous workmanship formed in the womb, every day of my life recorded before a single day passed, embroidered with various colors like a tapestry, like even with the dark threads and all, giving definition to our life. And then there's another phrase that I see in scripture that speaks about the handiwork of God or being God's masterpiece, and that is like a vessel and the potter and the clay. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8, where it says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all of us are the work of your hand." Again, God's masterpiece, created uniquely by God with a purpose in mind. A vessel is for use by the master. We'll look more at the process that a vessel goes through in its preparation for being used for special things by its master. But here's the handiwork of God. You're a masterpiece. He, the potter, slabbed you on the potter's wheel and started that process of spinning and fashioning and molding to be exactly what he has intended you to be. That started in your mother's womb. But the process isn't complete yet. We'll see that the process is ongoing. So like the vessel, like a potter and the clay. And here's what we need to be careful about in Isaiah 45, verse 9. It says, "Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?' Or the thing you are making say, 'He has no hands'?" In other words, challenging God, questioning God. "Lord, this is what my life is all about. You have no idea what you're doing. Lord, why have all these things happened to me? Lord, what are you doing?" And God is fashioning, God is molding, God is making us to be the vessels he intended us to be. And we're sometimes pushing back against God. "Lord, don't touch me that way. Don't do this in my life. Don't stretch me that way. Lord, I'm not capable to do that. You know my limitations." As Moses said to the Lord, "You know that I stutter. Or as Jeremiah says to the Lord, "You know how young I am. No one's going to take me seriously if I come with the word of the Lord." And God says, "I'll give you the words to say." And so, you know, we come up with all these reasons where the clay is pushing back against the hand of the potter and saying, "Lord, you don't know what you're doing, do you?" And he says, "Oh yeah, I do. You just let me mold you. You just let me shape you. You fulfill the plan and the purpose that I have for you. I have created you. You're one of my masterpieces. You are my workmanship. And so let's be about his business." So here's some conclusion in that. God made me a certain way, and God has certain things for me to do. I best be about doing them? And we can do that by identifying our place. What is the place that God has for me? And as we continue on in this series of messages, Saved to Serve, my desire, one of my objectives here is to help you, if you don't already know, to help you to find that place. How can you define the place that God has for you? What is it that you have been designed for? There are particular ways that you can discern that, perceive that, and pursue after that. And so we will continue on in that as we continue in this series of messages. So God has things for me to do, or God has created me a certain way. He has things for me to do. I best be about doing them so I'm not being disobedient to my Creator, and identifying my place, knowing what it is that I'm to do. Well, we'll see that this is an ongoing process from start to finish, and I would have you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Actually, I'm going to start back with verse 5. I keep broadening the passage when I go through and I look at it again. It's like, I need to include this as well. So we're going to start with Philippians 1 and verse 3. It says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Now, what I wanted you to see in this, the first part of this passage that I'm sharing with you, is that these guys are being commended for what they're doing already. You're already partners. You've been partners with me in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it till now. In other words, these are committed, faithful followers, supporters, and partners together with Paul. And then he says, but you know what? The job's not done yet. God is still doing his work, he says in verse 6. Then he says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. In other words, the work was started, but the work is ongoing, and the work is not yet complete. And that's what we see in there. God began the good work within you. Secondly, God will continue his work. And thirdly, there will be a point where it is finished, but it's not while we're here on this earth at all. So in other words, the process continues all the days of our lives while we are still living. We see three parts of that again. God started it, he continues it, it will be finished, but not until Jesus returns. So we are all in process. We are all being developed by God. That handiwork continues. His masterpiece work, his skillful master work continues. He is the potter, continues to shape the vessel and prepare the vessel for all the special things that clay pot is to be and is to do for him. So it began, it will continue, and it will be finished. So again, we can see how we are created for God works. Created, yes, for good works, but created for God works, and it's God who's doing the work in us. And then if you would turn to chapter 2 there, Philippians 2, we were in the first part of that a little bit earlier this morning. But Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13 speak of that us being about the work that God has given us to do, part of that process of developing. Philippians 2, starting with verse 12, it says, dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So again, this speaks of working out. Sorry, I forgot to put this up on the screen. Working out your salvation, not working for your salvation. Here it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. We were saved to serve. We were made anew so we could do. Okay, so there's things that God has designed and planned long ago for us to do, for us to be about His stuff, His works in us. But it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Again, not work hard for your salvation. We can't work hard enough. We could never earn our salvation by our good works. But as a result of our salvation, it says, show the results. Work hard to show the results. And it says, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And that is when we are agreeing with Him that, Lord, You have created me. You've created me in a certain way, and You have certain things for me to do. And that's when we say, yes, Lord, I will do them. Committed to God, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And it says, God is working in you. So again, these are God works. We are created for God works. God is working in you. And it says, even giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. You know, isn't that amazing, people? When it doesn't just, you know, God doesn't just say, okay, here's what I've got for you to do. Now, get about doing it. Muster up the energy, muster up the motivation. Come on, you know, stir it up. Do whatever you got to do to get these works done. God says, here's what I've got for you to do. And then He goes, oh, by the way, here's the desire and the energy to do it. Even those things come from God. So, you know, sometimes we just need to, I think, you know, I'd put down in my notes here, sometimes we need to maybe pray and ask God, Lord, just give me the want to. And I thought, why would we do that? He already has. Lord, just help me to want to. Help me want the want to, because You've already given me the want to. You've given me the desire. You've given me the power, the ability to do what You've asked me to do. Lord, whatever it is that's holding me back, help me to cast that thing off, because there is nothing preventing me from doing what You've given me to do. Even the desire and the power to do it is there. How much more God work do we need in us before we'll get down to business and do what He's called us to do? Do what He's designed us to do. Do what He has purposed each day of our life. Recorded already. Man, there's so much purpose. There's so much. You are so unique. You are so God designed with purpose. Things planned beforehand, long ago. Desire, power to do it. Why are we holding back? What's wrong with us? That's what I have to ask myself when I'm, you know, running low on energy or desire or motivation to do the things that God would have me do. I sit here and have to say, okay, Roger, what's distracted you? What's pulled you away from that? You know, what are the things that have so easily tripped you up, or the weights that you need to cast off? Because that's really what's going on. It has nothing to do with God needs to do more in my life before I can get it done. He's designed us. He's given us what to do. He even gives us the desire and the energy to do it. Again, I'm going to pull back to the Amplified Translation here for these two verses, because what the Amplified Bible does is it expounds to make it a little bit more understandable by using extra words and extra phrases that we can relate to and connect with. And so you'll see that here in Philippians 2, 12 and 13 from the Amplified. It says, therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out. And then it defines what that working out our salvation means. When it says cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. Now it defines the reverence, awe, and trembling with this: self-distrust and serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. We're going to look at some of those things as we continue in this series. What might it be in our life that is offensive to the Lord, or even discredits the name of Christ, and says that we're supposed to shrink back from those things, timidly shrink back from those things. And then verse 13, it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. How many of you remember the advertisement about the Energizer Bunny? It was advertising Energizer batteries, and they talked about the Energizer Bunny, and he was, you know, beating a drum. They had batteries in him, and boom, 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 boom. It says it keeps going and going and going. That's because all the energy that is being supplied, and it's a never-ending energy. And this is exactly what it says that God will do in us. It's not in our own strength. So we are at fault when we're trying to do things on our own. But here it says, not in your own strength, it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing you. See, he's given you the desire. He's given you the ability. He's giving you the power, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will, there again is the want to, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. You know, this is Father's Day. How about if we all purposed to work for God's desire, his satisfaction and delight as our Father, as our Heavenly Father on Father's Day? At Praise Fellowship Church, we have a mission and a purpose, and that comes from the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment from Matthew chapter 22 is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And Jesus said, and the second is like the first, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. He said, this was the greatest commandment. And he said, the whole law or any commandment is fulfilled in this. And we abbreviate it by saying love God and people too. And the other part of our vision and our purpose comes from the great commandment then, or excuse me, the great commission. And that was given by Jesus before he ascended when he sent his disciples to go into all the world and make followers of him or make disciples. He said, teaching them, first of all, preaching the gospel, you know, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. In other words, and we abbreviate it as making followers of Jesus. There was one time when our ministry leaders were meeting, I think it was back in the season when we call them the Dream and Steam Team, and let me tell you this, that the dreaming is still going on, and the steam part is the work. We realize that there is work that's involved in the development of dreams coming to pass, so the ministry leaders are still dreaming and steaming. But I had put before them the question, what does a disciple of Jesus or what does a follower of Jesus look like? And collectively, this was their definition. Okay, so this is coming from your leaders. So this is the plan and the purpose that we as leaders of Praise Fellowship Church have for you to be able to fulfill that mission and purpose of loving God and people too and making followers of Jesus. What does a follower of Jesus look like? First of all, it is a fully committed believer that is in a close relationship with God. You know, commitment is something that you always look for in people that you're in agreement with or people that you're going to work together with. People that are working for you. If you're an employer, you're looking for committed employees. Pastors and churches are looking for committed people to serve together with them. That means you can count on their word. That means when they say they will do something, they follow through with it because of their level of commitment. And this is the kind of thing that we desire to foster or develop in people that would be followers of Jesus, as they're committed believers, so that when the Lord says, this is the way I've created you, and these are the things that I've created you to do, that the person would respond and say, yes, Lord, because of their level of commitment. So a fully committed believer that is in a close relationship with God. And secondly, seeking to be changed into conformity to the image of Jesus. And as we even saw today, God started that process. God continues that process, but the process isn't done until Jesus comes back. So none of us ever arrive to a place where, okay, I'm mature enough now. I'm enough like Jesus that I really don't need to change anymore. A true follower of Jesus, in fact, the more you are a follower of Jesus, the closer you get to him, the more you realize, I have so much farther to go. It's like the closer you get, the farther away you are, it seems like. It's like, and God is able to reveal things to you. We've described it this way before. It's like peeling the layers of an onion. And God continues to peel layers as we continue to allow him to work in our lives. So here we see this as part of it, seeking to be changed into the conformity of to the image of Jesus. And next, they are a person that is discovering their spiritual gifts and is using them to serve the Lord and other people. You know, part of our loving God and people too is serving God and people too. Person that is discovering their gifts. And not always do we have them fully discovered. Not always are we fully functioning yet in our spiritual gifts. And so that's part of the purpose of this, is that we can develop in that. And then fourthly, they are in a relationship with other people for fellowship and accountability. This is where the word community really is the operative word when it comes to the body of Christ or the church, the gathering of the believers, the fellowship or the communion of the saints, several scriptural terms that are given to God's plan of being connected and connected with others for these purposes, for fellowship, to stir one another to love and good deeds, as it says in Hebrews when it says, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. For accountability, when it says to bear one another's burdens, or when it says, he who is spiritual, if you have found a person who has committed sin, he who is spiritual, restore them in a spirit of gentleness, as it says in Galatians 6 and verses 1 and 2. So it's like we are to be accountable to one another, and committed or followers of Jesus look for that kind of a relationship because it keeps you safe when you're not out there on your own, but are in a relationship with other people and accountable to them as well. And then finally, they are seeking and or functioning in their place in the world to impact the world as ambassadors for the Lord. So it's not just about gathering on Sunday, and it's not just about serving when we have a church service together. It's about becoming ambassadors for the Lord out in the world. That's why he left us here, is to represent him in the world. And we went through that whole, you know, aspect of that when we were talking about created in the image of God, so that we can represent him here in the world, so we can be ambassadors for him. And followers after Jesus are those who have said, Lord, I'm here to represent you in the world and be committed to that. So my question is, as you view this definitive word about followers of Jesus, how do you fare? You don't have to raise your hand or volunteer information out loud or anything like that, but just examine yourselves. That's what it's about when we gather together. It's opportune time to say, okay, maybe there's some room for improvement in some of these areas. And Lord, I see that you're willing to give me the desire and the power, the energy. And so I'm yielding myself to that on another level of commitment, so that not only you designed and created me, but I'm fulfilling the purpose that you have planned for me as your masterpiece, Lord. I have been created by God, and God's works are happening in me so that I can fulfill the good works that you have planned for me.